Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
A podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single. Even though if we started dating and I said, I want a snow leopard dress, and you came on a bunch of my black items and went, look, there's white dots, I would still date you. My guest today was a staff writer. Some people are like, what is snow leopard? It's just white leopard print. Okay, my guest today was a staff writer for The Ringer, where he created and hosted the Emmy Award-winning series NBA Desktop. He hosted the hip pop culture podcast Binge Mode, and now he's at Crooked Media, where he hosts Talkline, an NBA podcast, along with former WNBA star Renee Montgomery. It's Jason Consumption.
Hello.
Did I do it right? Did I say your last name right?
You did, but it's Takeline, not Talkline.
What?
But it's okay. Yeah. Did they spell it wrong in the thing?
It is. No. It's not spelled wrong in my notes. It is Takeline. Here's the thing. Reading is really hard.
I know.
Okay. Sometimes you wake up and your eyes, your brain, and your mouth say, you stupid bitch, we're not going to work today. It's going to be hard all day.
Well, it is. Daylight savings. What is it? They returned. It's no longer daylight savings today. For those of who want some context in terms of when this was recorded,
yeah,
we lost an hour of sleep. Everyone,
we did. We lost an hour because of fucking farmers.
Come on,
that's what I hear. That
right.
We spring forward and we spring back because of farmers.
Yeah, what are
and
we
I
doing?
I was like, I think the farmers are chill now. Like, I think they're okay.
Fine. Yeah.
I don't think they need this.
Don't they go by the sun? What do they care about the actual time? You know, it's like the sun comes up and the rooster crows and you get to work.
Yeah.
Is that not it?
I feel like that's it. But maybe it's so like, okay, well, if I have to wake up an hour earlier, the rest of the world has to wake up an hour earlier if they want to get their apples. So maybe that's it. I don't know, Jason. I don't know.
Now, there are people who are, including a bunch of people at Crooked, who are very passionate about getting rid of daylight savings time. And I think there are many, many good reasons to do that in terms of like energy efficiency and, you know, various other reasons. I just can't. Other than the day that I lose the hour of sleep, it's hard for me to get excited about the campaign to get rid of daylight savings.
Yeah, I don't really care. I'm less affected now because my phone just does it for me.
Right.
But ooh, baby, back in the day when she was in school, it was tough because I didn't have a cell phone to tell me the time. And my sister, she always knew what time it was. That's her greatest strength, knowing what time it is. And she'd always make it to school on time. And then my homeroom teacher, we had the same homeroom. And what was his name? Mr. Strauss. Mm. Mr. Strauss would always go
is Nicole going to come to school today? And she would always say, I think so, because we came to school separately because I had to sleep later because there's no medical reason. It's just a choice I made for myself and my self-care. But also school starts too fucking early.
It starts way too early.
Yeah.
It's
nobody
insane.
Learns at 9 a.m. I'm no. so sorry.
And then sometimes you have like other stuff. Like I had other kind of like clubs and classes that would require you to get there earlier. So you'd have like 20
what?
Minutes to meet some other like AP thing like before homeroom. And it was just like, my brain is melted.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You came to school before school started to like have more school?
Yeah, we would have to do that. In certain, we were like, I was in a class called enrichment, which was like, I guess for smart people, although my remembrance of this is that my mom bullied them into putting me into it. And then I think this was like, I think the Asian bias worked in my favor in that case because it was a very white area. But she was like, my son is very smart. He should be in enrichment. And then I was. I don't think there was any basis for me to be in it at that time. But yeah, we had to get there early.
I mean, that does not sound like it's enriching your life. If anything, I feel like it's encroaching on your time. This is encroachment classes.
It's absolutely true. Nicole, I was just telling Marissa that this is wonderful for me. One, because I'm a big fan of yours. Two, because I know so much about your life from your various podcast appearances on The Power Hour with John Gabrus and Doughboys, any of the various podcast appearances that you've had. And when I first moved to Los Angeles 4 years ago now, almost five, maybe five, you were the first stand-up I saw.
Really?
Yeah, at the old Nerd Melt on Sunset. You were at my friend Mike Malloy's show On Deck, was like a baseball-themed comedy show. And
yes.
you were just like, you know, you were like crushing. You were like Godzilla stomping on little buildings. It was amazing. And it stays
Thank
in my mind.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. That, honestly, what a treat. I, full disclosure, just woke up because I lost an hour, so I slept in too late. But thank you. It's nice to wake up to a compliment. It's funny because when I first started doing stand-up out here, I mean, just as a woman, you kind of have to prove yourself. And
right.
then I came from a show called Girl Code, where it was a talking head show, where for whatever reason, stand-ups did not think we were actually funny in real life.
Oh, whoa, interesting.
Yeah, so like I would get booked on alt shows, but not in clubs. So like Nerd Melt was instrumental in me getting time.
I miss that place.
Yeah, me too. It was so fucking good.
It was good. It was really good. It was great. It was so that was like my I'd been in LA like 2 weeks or whatever it was, and I got invited out to that show, and I was like, wow, this is great. This is wonderful.
Where did you come from?
I came from New York City, from Brooklyn. I was living in Brooklyn.
New York. Concrete jungles where dreams are made of.
That's right.
Hey, Jay-Z, let me be on title. So how long did you live in Brooklyn?
Well, I'm born in Queens and then raised on Long Island for anybody that means anything to. John Gabrus would understand. Yeah, during my formative years, I spent on Long Island. And then up until 4 years ago, I was there, 4 or 5 years ago, I was there for a long time, like almost 8 years the last time I was
there.
Okay. Yeah.
I grew up in Jersey. Everyone in my class was either from Long Island or Staten Island or had family in Brooklyn or Long Island and Staten Island.
You know the vibe.
Yes. Ugh, I know it very well and I love it. Also, sometimes I went to school with so many Italians.
Oh, yeah.
Who, when I finally went to Italy, I was like, wait, everything got lost in translation. This is not the same. Nobody calls it gravy in Italy. It was almost like a culture shock because I was like, I know Italians. I've been around Italians. Yeah. Like people in my school, like their last names would be like Tortellini or Sant'Anastasio or like just so many like very Italian names. And then you get there and you're like, this is different.
Yeah, everyone in my class was either Irish, Italian, or Jewish. It was a, mm-hmm. it was yep. you know, those kind of shades of white people, but a lot of Italian, of but white. Very like culturally like Italian and Irish, and it was like, yeah, I remember like realizing that prosciutto saying prosciutto
uh-huh.
is like some weird East Coast Italian thing that actually has
yeah,
no
prosciutto,
yeah, prosciutto,
mozzarella.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the mozzarella. Let me get. Half a pound of mozzarella, some prosciutto. It's like, that's not a thing that people say? That real Italians don't say that?
Yeah, and then the thing that shook me the most was some of them say, instead of like spaghetti, some of them, some East Coast Italians right. will say macaroni and gravy yeah. for spaghetti.
Yeah.
For just like spaghetti and red sauce. You're like, wait, what? What do you mean macaroni and gravy? That sounds awful. And then you like sit down to eat and you're like, oh, this is just spaghetti and meatballs. This is, what do you, what?
It was so funny. My mom is Filipino. My parents are I'm from the Philippines. And so
you first generation?
I'm first generation. So she has this, at this point, this insane accent that's like Filipino woman with these like really intense Long Island inflections, you know, like
same with my dad.
Like what?
My dad was from Barbados, lived in Canada for a little bit, and then was in Chicago and then Jersey. So it's like Chicago's like a Midwestern, like you spread your words, but not black people in Chicago. Black people in Chicago sound like they're from the South.
Right.
So it's like Southern Canadian, which is spread vowels, Barbadian, which is like kind of clipped, it's like, you know, Rihanna, yeah. And then Jersey. So like he some of the words he would say were just so wild. But like, can you do an impression of your mom? I don't think I could do an impression of my dad.
Yeah, I can kind of do it. Yeah, she'd say like one of the things that she'll say when the Long Island really jumps out is she'll say like, oh my god, like that. Or she'll say something like, she'll be on the phone speaking in Tagalog, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden just say, this fucking bullshit, something like that. Like all her curses and her and that uh-huh. kind of stuff is very Long Island inflected.
I truly love that. That is yeah. a delightful treat. I love when accents and cultures like intertwine mm-hmm. and mix. My family didn't really intertwine and mix it. Like, my aunts and my uncle, last time I saw them, I was like, do a Barbadian accent, please. And my aunt looked me dead in the eyes and was like, we were made fun of so much when we yeah. first moved here that we have erased that from us. And I was like, so you won't do it for me? She's like, no, I don't even know how. It's been so long.
That's so interesting. It's, you know, it's a similar thing with me because, you know, I'll get around Filipino people or my extended family and they're like, why can't you speak Tagalog? Although mm-hmm. I can understand it. I can catch the gist of what's being said around me. But like, why can't you speak? And I'm like, well, because my mom like didn't want us to have accents and didn't want us to like, they wanted us to blend in. And that mm-hmm. made sense. It seemed to make some kind of sense at the time in this like extremely white area where we were like teased and bullied a lot. But then later it's like, yeah, why can't I speak anything? I feel out of place now. I can't speak the language.
Yeah, it's interesting how trying to protect you ends up not enriching you later. Yes. So it would have been a real enrichment class if you had learned Tagalog. Yeah. Say it again.
Tagalog. That's correct.
Tagalog.
That's correct.
Have you ever been to the Philippines?
I have. I've been there three times now. The last time in like 2014. So the first time I went as a child. After my dad passed away, we went there to like meet up with family and stuff. And it was a complete culture shock because it was like, they were going through, basically like a coup at the time. This is the end of like the Marcos regime. He was like toppling. And so they were like soldiers in the streets with like mm-hmm. guns, which I had never seen before. That was crazy to me. And my uncles were like, don't let him speak. Don't, you know, they were telling me like, when you're in public, don't speak, because if they hear you speak English, they'll kidnap you. I'm like, okay, this is chill. This is great. Thank you.
Wow.
For really calming me down. But then, and then my mom, I look at my mom and she's like, it's true. Don't speak. I'm like, okay, wow.
Oh,
and
dang.
Then, yeah. So it was like that. And that was like, it was, That was the first time I ever saw kids smoking, too. I remember, like, my...
Kids smoking?
It was a complete culture shock.
I know that's bad, but what a dream. Just a child smoking a cigarette.
Like a child. They sent me and, like, one of my cousins to, like, a corner... Not a store, but, like, a little stand that sold toilet paper and different things and cigarettes at the end of the street. And so we go down there, and... we buy the cigarettes, and my little cousin's like, "Do you smoke?" I'm like, "No, what? I'm eight years old. What are you talking about?" And then she just like lights up a cigarette out of the pack, and you could have hit me over the head with a brick, walked up to me and done it, and I would have been like, it would not have felt it. I was so shocked at this. I'd never seen anything like this in my life. And there were adults around who were just like, "Yeah, that's great. This little girl is smoking. Fine. No one cares."
How wild. Why does that happen? I guess I started smoking when I was in middle school, but it was like a secretive thing.
Yeah.
And I had to douse myself in Bath and Body Works cucumber melon spritz before I went back inside. And then my mother would still be like, "Were you around people smoking?" And I'd be like, "I don't know." I'm not sure. I don't know. But truly, that's like intense to like go to a different country and then there's like, you know, military in the streets and they'll kidnap you. Honestly, it's like fucking last summer here.
the National Guard
just in the streets. You're like, why are you here?
In the streets. And then so, you know, like electricity was really sporadic at that time, the first time. And there was no, like all the TV was in Tagalog, was not in Filipino, was not in, couldn't see any like Western programming when the electricity was running. And like they were burning, like there was no garbage collection. We were burning garbage like in the yard. Like it was a lot at that time. And then when I went back more recently, it was like completely, everything was, you know, there's like these massive malls now. Everything's much more stabilized. Like there is like the poverty is jaw dropping in a way that you can't, that is totally mind melting and bracing still. But, you know, like there's the kind of like global pop culture is a lot more entrenched. Like people watch Game of Thrones. They wanted to talk about it. They watch like all American and Western shows. So it was like very, very different. There's like, we went out to restaurants. We weren't afraid about being in the streets. Nobody was like, "You're going to get kidnapped.
Nobody was
going to
kidnap you."
Yeah, there wasn't that. But so it was,
that was just a phase. Now you can talk in public.
That was so different.
I just like, okay. I keep thinking about poverty and I'm like, guys, it's not fun. It doesn't look like a good time.
It
bums
terrible.
Me out when I see it. Why don't we give people homes and money?
Yeah.
I think I'm a full-blown socialist where I'm like, I don't know, nobody should have $1 billion. Seems dumb. Seems dumb. If I had $1 billion, like you can't spend $1 billion.
You can't spend it. If you tried to spend it every day, you couldn't spend it.
Yeah, you absolutely couldn't. I was on the phone with my grandpa the other day. And my grandpa is, the most blunt person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What do you do?" Also, he answers the phone like he's singing a song. He goes, "Hello."
I love that.
And I was like, "Hello, grandpa. How are you?" And he was like, "I'm good, granddaughter." He also calls me granddaughter because he'll call me my sister's name if he doesn't just, you know, keep it generic. But he was like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Driving home from the bank." He goes, "Ooh, withdrawing money?" I said, "No, depositing money. I like to save money." And he went, No. You need to spend your money, granddaughter. You are not married. You don't have kids. And when you die, your money is going to revert to the government. So spend your money." And I was like, this is low key a roast. You are unmarried. You have no kids. And when you die, your money's just up for grabs. I was like, who says this? And I went, "Grandpa, thank you. I'll call you next week." And he said, "Please don't." But I will call him next week and he will enjoy it.
That's so funny. Does your family like understand what you do now? Like, do they get it now?
No, not at all. It's funny that they don't understand it. So when Nailed It started, like I told them, I was like, oh, I'm on a show, da 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 da. And they were like, okay, whatever. Nicole keeps saying she does things.
We but called her TV. Miss. It's on TV.
They call me Miss LA. Or when I lived in New York, it was Miss New York. Yeah. What's Miss New York doing? And I'm like, pretty well. And then like last year, or no, 2 years ago, 2019, my granny was like, are you going to go back to college? And I was like, no, I think I'm doing okay without a degree. Like, I think I'm fine. But like the kids started watching Nailed It. So like my youngest cousins, and then my adult aunts and uncles were like, oh, so if the children know she's doing something, she really must be doing something. And then a fun thing that happens is yeah, tell us a joke. And I'm like, we're at the table and you're not paying me. And there's no mic. What do you mean?
Yeah.
But I do tell my grandpa, I'll be like, Grandpa, this joke I say about you kills every time. And it's something awful he has said to me. And then every time I tell him the same one, every time he laughs real hard and goes, it's true. Does your family understand what you do?
They do now. My mom does now. So we had I went to music school, which was a thing that my mom fervently disagreed with. She did not like that. You know, a child of immigrants, you should be like a doctor or something. I had like letters from good schools. So this was like truly heartbreaking. But I was like looking to rebel. And also I really wanted to, I wanted to be a film scorer. I wanted to like, you know, do the music that you hear on TV shows and on commercials and such. So I did that, but that didn't work. And I was just hearing about it from her for a number of years. And then I started getting into like writing and podcasting, and she kind of, when my podcast Binge Mode started taking off, we were covering Game of Thrones at the time. And then she got it at that time because she started listening to it. She liked the show and she was listening to it and she got it. And now it's like I have to be like, don't argue with people on Facebook about who say things about me. Don't, please don't do that. Like, cause she'll do it. She'll go on like Facebook threads and be like, nah. Like, and I was like, Mom, you gotta not.
That's love, though. That's so sweet. My family would never fight on my behalf. Well, my sister, she'll just be like, I saw someone say something nasty to you. I read it, and it's not nice. And I'm like, yeah, Catherine, I know.
They can't understand. It's awful to hear bad things about yourself.
It is, but then I like told my sister, I was like, I don't know if you read anything awful about me, just like take it with a grain of salt and just remember that like these people aren't living their best lives. Like if you have enough time to, you know, tweet or make a comment about somebody being like, I hate you. And it's like, okay, well, thank you so much. I'm so sorry.
That's what I told my mom. I was like, listen, everybody's been inside for a year and they just want to complain about something. And I guarantee you that 5 seconds after whoever wrote something about me on whatever, they forgot about it. Like, it's not a part of their lives anymore. So just, like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Uh-huh. But then sometimes you have people who will come back and say things to you.
Yeah, well, that
like,
is
like, you'll
true.
Just be like, wait, is this the same person who said something nasty to me last week? And you're like, oh, do they have, like, a reminder in their phone to be like, gotta say something nasty to Nicole?
I know. Why are we so special? What happened here?
I don't know, Jason. We're just like two little special potatoes. Okay, real quick, we have to take a break.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at Babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at Babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We back. Okay, Jason.
Yes.
Are you single, married, dating, in a polyamorous relationship, an ethically monogamous relationship? Are you dedicated to never ever dating? These are your only options. Which one is it?
I'm in an ethically monogamous relationship. I'm not sure what that is, but that sounds like the closest thing to what it is.
Well, I said ethnically
monogamous. I thought you said
No, I said ethically non-monogamous, but oh. I would like it to be ethnically monogamous.
I'm in a relationship.
I am
in a relationship. Yes.
How long have you been in a relationship?
It's been like 2 years now. Year and a half.
That's nice. A nice even number.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice. It's was long distance for a long time, and now it's not, which is great. And the timing with the pandemic and all the stuff worked out. So it's been really nice. Mm-hmm. It's been really good. Yeah, that's been one of the best parts of it.
That's been a lot of people's best parts. They're like, I found love during a pandemic. Yeah. People weren't allowed to be near each other, but I found the person I get to be near, which has not been true for me. It's been a terrible year for my pussy. So, okay, how did you guys meet? I'm so slowly going crazy. I am like, like I've been hugged maybe 8 times in the last year.
I know, it's so crazy, right? I was outside, like we went to the beach yesterday to Malibu just to like be outside a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to talk to people anymore or like uh-huh. do anything. Like I was trying to tip the person that I bought a smoothie from and it came out weird. Like I was asking for her fingernails or something, you know, like
thank you. Smoothie good. Nails now. Fingernail. Yeah. Give me your nails. Yeah, it's really incredible. Like, I don't know what's going to happen when we're all, everyone who wants to be vaccinated is vaccinated.
Yes.
I can't wait. Oh my God, I can't wait. Some people are like very leery of it. Sure. I know a lot of black people sure. of color are like, I'm a little suspicious. And I was like, I don't know, guys, if the white people are like driving to South Central to right. get the vaccine, you better get in line too, bitch. If they're getting it like this, yeah. if these Audis are in fucking Compton, you better get it too, girl. Okay. So that's me. I'm like, if they want it, if Donald Trump, the person who denied COVID for yes. a year, got yes. it immediately when it was available, yes. you better give to it to me something. Too.
Yeah. If people are flying to like Florida and different states and like sharing codes that should yes. only be used for certain people. Like yes. if you're going through that level yes. of trying to do it, you know, then think about getting it.
Yes. Also, people are like, we don't know what's in it. I'm like, you don't know what's in the food you eat.
Yeah.
You eat apples that are a year old. Research it. Listen, this is what they do. There's more apples. So like, how are apples in season all the time? How are apples in season all the time at the supermarket? It's because they keep all the apples. They put them in big old bins. They lower the temperature to slow the ripening process. And then they like take the air out of it to also slow in the ripening process. And then they give them to the supermarkets when they need it. The apples you eat on average are 14 months old. I have read at least 2 articles about it. So it must be true if I found 2 on the internet.
Wow, you have just blown my mind regarding apples. Yes,
everything. How are all fruits and vegetables in season when they're not technically in season?
Now, see, this is the thing. This is a part of, I've been thinking so much during this pandemic. You mentioned that you're like a full-blown socialist now. I, too, have been radicalized by this past 12 to 14 months to 4 years of our shared experience on this earth together. And it just feels like this can't go on. Like, can we keep freezing apples for 14 months? It just feels like everything, there's too many moving parts in everything that's uh-huh. going on. And if you just pull like one pin, now all of a sudden the apples aren't ripe. There's no apples in the grocery store. Now like the people are freaking paper. Out. It was like the toilet paper.
Like that was truly shocking.
Yes.
Like going to the supermarket and being like, none? There's not one roll here? And then you try to order on Amazon, and then, like, I had a friend who got little baby rolls, like, little mini rolls of toilet paper, and I was like, is this a joke? What? What do you mean you're selling baby mini rolls of toilet paper? I mean, yeah, if one thing goes wrong, this country has no infrastructure to deal with it.
None.
Kind of like Texas. Like, we should be updating a lot of things for intense natural disasters because they're going to yes. keep happening because of global warming.
Yes. And if there's, you know, of the many things, bless you, the many things that Thank this you. Pandemic has revealed about our society is like, maybe it's not a great idea that most people get their health insurance through employers when all of a sudden we're going to be laying off millions and millions and millions of people. Maybe that's a bad idea. Is that a good yeah. system? Maybe not.
Yeah. I can't remember who was telling me this, but they were like, I don't know, Sweden? Where were they? Oh, my friend Tessie. Her people are from like a Nordic country. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she was like, yeah, if I went there, I could go get help and they would not charge me and I'm not a resident. And I was like, oh yeah, that must be nice to go to a hospital. Yeah. Like if you take an ambulance here, I got to ride in one. Thank you. She's a VIP. It costs you $700.
It's wild.
And then you
it's
have
insane.
To pay $200 of it even with insurance.
That's insane. I mean, isn't that is totally insane.
Isn't it? It's truly just like, what is this country doing?
When I was uninsured for a good portion of my early adulthood, I have asthma, which is why I can't wait to get this vaccine. And so I was like, by hook and by crook, just trying to acquire asthma inhalers any way I could. I'd be like, if my brother had, like, you have 15 puffs on your asthma inhaler, can you get another one and mail that to me? Like,
oh my God,
doing whatever it took. And I just think that, you know, the amount of people that haven't been able to work and don't know where their money's going to come from, and then like are holding off doing other things unrelated to the pandemic that are important for their health. It's just not, we can't keep doing this. It's not sustainable, Nicole.
It's not sustainable. I read an article about somebody, a bunch of people who ration their insulin because insulin is so expensive. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, what?
We got people rationing insulin? Yeah, you can get a script for a painkiller. For like, my finger hurts, and they're like, Percocet for everybody. It's nuts. We're living in the wildest times, Jason.
We're living in the absolute wildest times. And then like every week, at least a couple times a week, there'll be some story that's supposed to be a positive story that'll come out, like, you know, pop off on social media, be like, 95-year-old pizza deliveryman gets a $5,000 tip. It's like, why is he working?
And it's like, why is he working? It's because the system has failed him. Or like the Girl Scout, or not the Girl Scouts, like one lone 10-year-old boy sold 10 million bottles of water to raise money for Flint, Michigan that still has no water. Yet they tried to make a movie about it a couple years ago, and people were like, wait a minute, you can't do that. They don't have
they
water.
They still don't have the water.
There's no happy ending. There's no ending.
Yeah, what? What are we doing?
And it's like, these kids shouldn't have to do that.
That's crazy.
It is, our country's so fucking weird.
It's super weird. It's extremely weird. And yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's fully fucking bizarre. Wait, how did you meet your significant other?
Okay, so I was doing like this spoken, this live storytelling event on tour with a bunch of other storytellers and journalists who had, you know, were working on different stories. I was telling a story about how for 10 years I pretended to be a Yankee fan because of a misunderstanding I had with a friend of mine. He thought I was a Yankees fan, just as an aside. He thought I was a Yankees fan. I wasn't. I don't know how that started.
Wait,
but then
why
it went
didn't you
on
just tell him? Be like, oh, wait, because I'm not.
Because it was like, at first it was like unclear that that was what he thought. And then it was like all of a sudden, fast forward years later. And I then realized that all this time, like, he had thought I was a Yankees fan. And at that point it was like, I didn't know how to broach it. I didn't know how to, and we had moved apart. We were in separate places now. So it was like, I was just getting texts a few times a year about the Yankees. Hey, they're doing great. And, you know, I worked at a sports and pop culture website. So I was surrounded by these incredibly knowledgeable Yankees, you know, people who knew about baseball and sports in general. So I would just be like, okay, what does this mean? How do I respond to this if I was a Yankee fan? So I kept it going for a while. Anyway, so I was in Washington, D.C., and she was like a friend of a friend of extended friends, and we met and hit it off.
That's so nice.
Isn't it
a
nice?
Friend of a friend. No, I have no friends who will introduce
yes,
me
do.
To their friends. Well, no, I know I have friends.
Okay.
I have no friends. I'm just a lone person. I live alone. Nobody likes me. No, I have friends, but none of them will introduce me to their friends because they're always like, well, if they're single for a reason. Oh, I have this one. No, he'd probably treat you terrible and push you down the stairs. And I'm like, what the fuck? How are you filled with bad friends? Yeah, I have nobody. Nobody will hook me up with anybody. The apps are truly showing me the ugliest people. That sounds really mean. But like, yesterday I was swiping and I was like, is this what you think of me, Hinge?
No, what is your go-to? Hinge? Hinge is your go-to?
Hinge has been my go-to because I've had the most success on Hinge. And then I don't do Bumble. Bumble doesn't work for me.
Okay.
I was doing Tinder, but Tinder just seems like everybody's down to fuck, which I'm probably going to get back on Tinder once I'm vaccinated.
Yes.
Because the pussy is rusty.
Yeah.
And ooh, she's squeaking. She needs to get oiled up. Come on now. She's a Tim man. She needs to come on. She needs to get it. And then I was on OkCupid, but OkCupid is, there's a lot of moving parts and I don't really understand.
Yeah, there's
it
a
anymore.
Lot of like, there's a lot of like weird questionnaire stuff and like,
yes.
It, there's like an algorithm that you can feel it thinking for you underneath the surface. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
And then I read another article, just one article. I didn't do any due diligence to find a second. But This is how I confirm when things are real. I'm like, is there two articles? Yeah. Okay, baby, let's talk about it.
Okay.
But I read that a lot of dating apps have dummy profiles just to keep people invested, and that some people at these dating sites, will like pretend to be the people and engage with you to keep you engaged. Wow. So
that's awful.
Isn't that terrible? So I stopped paying for all the apps. I was like, well, I guess like, why am I paying $50 every 6 months or like $150 every year? Like for what? To go on a couple of dates where someone might pay for my drinks? Yeah, I don't know. It's a bummer, but I'm going to read to you.
LA's hard though, isn't it? Isn't that true? LA's harder than I think other places to like, to meet people.
Yes.
Because there's several things at play here. One, there's like a level of, keeping people wanting to keep their careers separate from personal and a lot of like the kind of like intermixing that could come with like, in, you know, introducing their friend group to other friends, other people they might date. And then there's just the space. This is such a spread out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I remember when I was on the apps, it was like, I'm in Santa Monica looking for someone no further east than Westwood. Like, there's like all these.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to drive to the West Side for dick, no matter how good it is. I don't want to be in my car for 45 minutes to an hour. I can't do it. But then, okay, so here's somebody I matched with. This person is dressed like Count Dracula, and they're just in the woods in a robe. And I just was like, Is this who's left? I can't do this if this is who's left.
Yeah, you can't. We can't have you like going on dates with like Gandalf or something.
Yeah, I don't want Gandalf. I can't do it. And then, so here's another person I encountered on the apps. So Hinge has like prompts. So the prompt is, "You'll know if I like you." You'll know I like you if, and his response was, "If I like your toes, beautiful toes, beautiful spelt wrong, soul." That simple. So here's what I'm working with. It's depressing.
Now let me ask you this: what about you? You're a famous person.
I'm mildly successful.
You're on television. I know, but you're successful. Raya.
Raya is racist.
It is.
And classist.
It is.
And I was on it for a while. So it took me 2 years to get on it. I was waitlisted. And when I finally got on it, it was filled with like Australian DJs. And I was like, there's no way I'm sitting on a 16-hour flight for mediocre dick where he's like, maybe doesn't even have like a good playlist. So I can't do that. And then there was just like no people of color. The people who approached me were just like, not chill people. Yeah, I just like, it wasn't my people. It wasn't my vibe. So I stopped paying for it because I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, everybody on there is like white and a storyteller.
Yeah, or like trying to break into the business.
Yeah.
I went on a date with someone, I've mentioned this years ago on the podcast at this point. They like gave me a script for me to read. And I was like, I don't have a production company. I have no idea what you think I could do with this. And they're like, you know, just pass it on to whoever. And I was like,
are you serious?
Sure am. Yeah. It was. So Raya's not for me.
Like a feature spec.
I didn't read it, but it was a large PDF that I did not get around to reading. And I don't know if I still have it.
Real quick, we have to take a break.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip
plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is Hot Honey and Cocoa Zing. I put it on my lips, and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy, and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hey, Conan O'Brien here. My travel series, Conan O'Brien Must Go, is premiering on Max on April 18th. This is a show that kind of grew out of the podcast, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And I traveled to Norway, Argentina, Thailand, and Ireland to meet some of my fans that I met through the podcast. I have a lot of adventures. I've become a gaucho, a Muay Thai kickboxer. I'm an old lighthouse keeper. I'm a soccer player. I even visit my ancestral town in Ireland. Hmm. They've asked me never to return. You might even see a certain associate producer in my travels. You don't want to miss it. I love saying that when you might be fine with missing it, but I think you'll like it. Watch Conan O'Brien Must Go, available to watch now on Max.
And we're back. Also, I was like dating this dude last year and, or not even dating, we were just fucking. And I like was dropping off clothing yesterday and I was looking for a parking space and I was like, do, 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 do. And I was like, is that him? And I was like, this can't be. So I rolled down my window and I do this often when I see people, but I was like, hey, Carl, what, it's like whatever his name is. It's not Carl, but Carl's a name I like to use.
I like it.
And he, as he turned around, I was like, oh no, it is him. I then looked around my car like I was looking for something and I have no idea why I panicked like that. And then I like had to pull around anyway. And I was like, oh, I should just like pull up to him and be like, hi, how weird. But then at that point he was gone because a ghost screamed his name. So then I had to like find his number because I had deleted it out of my phone. So I like found his number and then texted him. I was like, hey, did someone dress like the Hamburglar yell your name? Because I was wearing black and white stripes. So like I look like the Hamburglar. And then he was like, I truly thought I was going crazier than I was because I did hear it. And I was like, so it was you. How interesting. And he was like, how are you? And then I told him how I was. And then he was like, P.S. I'm in a very serious relationship. And I was like, tee hee hee. Who the fuck thought anything was coming of yelling at you in your car? And I was like, how do I respond to this? To be like,
that's such a weird
it's
one.
Okay. Like,
now do you, As a notable person whose face and voice is out there streaming through various platforms, do you ever get like your one? Do people ever holler at you over social media or
no.
whatever? And do people ever?
Well, yes.
Do your exes ever come back and like, Nicole, I'm so happy for your success. I think often and fondly of our time together in Jersey, you know, whatever it is. Does that ever happen?
Well, okay. People do holler at me via the DMs, but it's never anybody who has said something like witty enough for me to like.
It's never good.
Yeah. And some of it sounds, this will sound very mean. If you have like sent me a DM hitting on me or like asking me out, please don't take offense to this, but like it'll be like long emails that I'm like, oh boy, this is too much for me to like wade through. Yeah. And then a lot of people are like not in LA. So I'm like, I'm not starting a long distance relationship with somebody that like, I truly don't know. And then no, I don't have any like real exes. I've never been in like a relationship past 2 months. Or 3 months. I think that's my longest. Well, no, I did. I had one on and off for two and a half years, but he was bad and emotionally manipulative.
I don't like that. No one likes that. That's
he
not
wasn't
good.
Great, but that dick though. Oh, I dream
Hello.
Of it. I dream a dream, time gone. Anywho, lost my mind today. Yeah, like I don't, it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Every man who's ever appeared on my podcast has had tons of people in the DMs, you know, being like, let me talk to you. But I guess my demographic isn't straight men. And that's not to say I only date straight men. I'm a rather open, my doors are open. I refuse to close a door to somebody just because they might not be the gender or what I think the person I end up with looks like. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's, I truly don't know.
Do you ever think about, this is something I think about or talk about with friends who are in comedy and have careers where they do a lot of talking about themselves. I how much do you think a wariness amongst potential partners, potential romantic partners about like just having their business aired on a podcast? Do you think that people worry about that?
I don't really know. Anytime I've broached the topic with people I'm dating about it, they have not listened enough to my podcast for it to matter.
I guess it's just because I've listened to so many of your podcasts.
I sound fully insane when I'm like, hey, I won't talk about you on my podcast. And they're like, oh, okay, I didn't. Is this, wait, you talk about people on your podcast? Like, what is this? Are you just shit on people? And I'm like, oh, no, it's a dating podcast. Oh, you do a dating podcast? And you're like, oh, boy, I've now dug a hole. And like, it's this weird thing that, like, nobody was worried about. And I was like, I'll just tell you. And I think the next person that I date for a while, I'm just not going to bring it up. Let them bring it up if they have a query about it. But I do have a rule where I don't talk about people I'm currently dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I do bank episodes. So like this one is being recorded in March and it will come out in June. So it like kind of fucks up timelines.
Yeah.
So
I like that. Like, you confuse, you know, you're like, you know, you're hiding the trail. You're confusing the matters. So therefore, it makes it harder for people to, you know.
Yeah, it makes it harder for people to piece things together. And also I've had like some people reach out and be like, were you talking about me on this? And once I was, so I said, yeah, that was about you. And once I like wasn't, so I was like, no, it wasn't. And I feel very badly, but you thought it was you. So that's happened. But I don't know. I know if I was like, and also people ask me that a lot. They're like, you talk a lot about your life. Like, does it feel weird that people know so much? And I was like, or not was like, but I don't talk that much about my my life. I don't think I talk any more than any other comedian.
That's true. I wouldn't say it's more than any other comedian for sure. It's just I've listened to so much of your material over the years.
Well, she's got bills to pay, so she's got 37 podcasts. But yeah, like there's just a ton of stuff that like I keep secret, or not secret, I just don't talk about.
Yeah.
And I'll do interviews and they're like, what's a secret about you? And I'm like, it's a secret for a reason. So I declined to answer that one. But do you, how did you get into talking about sports?
It's an interesting, kind of a funny and weird question. I'm one of these people that got my break through social media. Like, as I mentioned, I was, as a failed musician, basically, just I was working jobs. I was like waiting tables and delivering leather in New York City.
What does that mean to people who don't know? Namely me. Like slabs of leather?
Yeah, like leather, like actual leather goods. I worked for a friend's partner's like handbag company, and so I would,
was it Zaina Bain?
And it was not Zaina Bain. I would like push a cart up 8th Avenue in Midtown to where our leather distributor, leather warehouse were, where they made the bags, and
where the leather daddies lived.
Mostly people from Ecuador who are wonderful. And then we'd bring it down, and then I would pack it up and then fulfill shipments. And then when, like, raw leather would come in, I'd have to, like, deliver that up to the factory and stuff for them to make certain things out of it. So it was a lot of that, like, wintertime pushing a cart through the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And then working at as a cater waiter at, like, various places across the city. That was what I was doing. And then, so at that time, like, Twitter was taking off, and I started a Twitter account mostly to just kind of, like, follow what was going on with my fantasy basketball team. And then I started tweeting a little bit, and I guess I was funny. It started taking off. And through that, I started getting opportunities. I remember one time when I was still working for this leather company, they were, like, setting up their social media, right? Mm-hmm. They were getting into it. And they were like, you're on Twitter, right? How do we do this? And I was like, okay, you do this. And they're like, what's your Twitter account just so we can link to it? And not thinking, I gave it to them. And they're like, why do you have 35,000 followers? Mm-hmm. Which seemed like a lot at the time. And I was like, when I am working here, I'm back there tweeting, like, way too much. So I got it. And from that, I got offers. People were like, would you want to try and write some pieces? So I wrote some pieces. Turned out I was pretty good at it. And then from that, I got actual offers. I got hired at Grantland first as a freelancer, and then as an actual staff writer. Then that fell apart, and then I got hired at The Ringer. And then through that, I got opportunities to talk on podcasts. It turned out I was pretty good at that too. And then I picked up the ball, and I just kept running with it. I didn't stop running with it.
I love that. I love when people not fall into what they end up doing as an occupation. I just like a roundabout way to figuring out, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I like when there isn't a direct line, like, oh, this is what I always wanted to do, and I worked really hard and I did it. Because I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. That's fine and good. But, like, this is a fun story.
Well, I'm always like, whenever I hear stories about how people manage to succeed in whatever, those are the parts that always annoy me. When it's like, oh, I was working for this amount of time, like, as a gopher or PA on this, and then I broke through. Next thing I knew, I was writing. And I always want to be like, okay, hold on, wait. How did you go from the PA to, like, mm-hmm. they read your thing and then they were willing to hire? Like, tell me all the stuff mm-hmm. about how that happened, the minutia, because that's the stuff that I don't understand. It's like, yes, everybody's working really hard. We're all working really hard. Everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get lucky, and that's just, like, how it happens. But then, like, what were the things that you ended up doing that actually, like, made it successful? Well, that's always the stuff
I never think about that people will be like this and then this, and it's like, well, yeah, in between this and then this, there was something there that you were leaving the fuck out. What is it?
That's what it was. It was, I got, you know, people, my Twitter account started popping off, and people wanted to see if I could write longer pieces than mm-hmm. just, like, the 180 characters or whatever it was at the time, and it just so happened that I was able to do it. And I was also at a place in my life, because of, like, you know, failing as a musician or like stopping doing it, where it was kind of like, you know, there's always the imposter syndrome, certainly, mm-hmm. like when you start something new, it's like, oh, am I actually good enough to do this? But there was also, like, an element of, like, I kind of don't like, I've already washed out of, like, one complete life path. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't care about this one. You know what I mean? Like, there was a certain, it's not fearlessness, but, like, I'm just going to say stuff. And if it, and I kind of don't care if people don't like it or whatever. Like, I'm just going to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So, okay, you co-host with a former WNBA star. Were you, like, big into the WNBA?
Oh, I love all basketball. I love basketball in all its forms, professionally, especially here in the States. Renee Montgomery, she is a two-time, not just like a WNBA star, she's a two-time champion. She's won two championships. Mm-hmm. She won a national championship in college with UConn. She is now a co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, the team that she used to play for. And just like an impressive person in all the ways that I am not, and is a really inspirational figure. Mm-hmm. Like, she foregoed her last year of her career in order to campaign for social justice and voting rights and stuff in Georgia. Like, she just walks it like she talks it. So it's amazing. And the ability to like talk to her and get like an actual athlete's perspective on, you know, whatever the story may be is just really, really cool. And then I've tried to like not like, you know, dig for stories about certain games or particular players, but just because I want it to come out organically. But it's really, it's amazing to sit across from her and talk with her about sports and stuff. She's just got such a perspective. It's amazing.
I have been to 2 WNBA games. And when I was there, I was like, how come we don't promote women's basketball more? It's so wild to me that women truly are like incredible athletes. And then yes, the world goes, it's just girls playing. But I'm like, these girls are cool and good. And they deserve, you know, they deserve the same push as men's teams do.
I completely agree. And I think the answer for why we don't is there's a ancient and well-entrenched and very powerful system of misogyny and other things in this country.
No.
I think it could be. And that's the reason why we don't push it. And why not only don't we push it, but unlike other things, unlike other sports where it's like, okay, I don't like, if I don't like baseball, I'm not out here telling you, fuck you if you like baseball. Mm-hmm. But if someone's like, oh, I'm watching, the Dream versus the Sparks today. Oh, that's, then you'll hear people be like, that's stupid. Why would you watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's women playing a sport. And that kind of antipathy is not there for other kinds of sports that men play.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question. Maybe you know it. Maybe you don't.
Okay.
Maybe nobody knows the answer.
It could be.
Why do male-skewing people play baseball, and lady-skewing people play softball?
It's a great question. I think it's part of, they wanted to create a game that they thought ladies could play with their having less of a physical presence of guys, so the ball is bigger, they pitch it underhand and
but
all these things.
Why is the ball bigger? Because in the WNBA, the ball is smaller, so you can palm it better. But I'm like, we have, if, you know, lady skewing people have smaller hands, why isn't the ball smaller for them, small little hands?
This is a fantastic question that I don't actually know the answer
to. I thought maybe you wouldn't know, but maybe nobody knows. Maybe that's the next thing I have to research. I got to find my 2 articles about softball and why the ball's bigger.
Well, this is like, here's a question that I don't know if you know the answer to, which I'm a smaller framed man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so there are times where I will buy like a lady's shirt or overshirt or whatever because it's the size that I want and there's no difference except the buttons will be on the other side. Why are the buttons on the other side?
I feel like whoever started making button-down shirts was like, we have to let the people know if they're in ladies' clothing or men's clothing. How embarrassing it would be if somebody doesn't know they're in women's clothing. I don't know, and I find it annoying because I'll find a men's shirt that I like and the buttons are different, and then I can't figure, like, it. Not, I mean, I can figure out how to fucking button it, but like, it just, it's jarring. And you're like, oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. I think more things should be unisex. And we should just decide on what side the buttons go. And then that's for everybody.
It makes complete sense to me. I remember being so confused when I first discovered this and just being like, are women better with their left hands? I don't understand why is this happening?
Why
does this occur?
I don't know. I had a friend in college who was like 4'9" or 4'10". Mm-hmm. She was very, very tiny. And I was like, you should shop in the kids section. The clothes are cheaper. And she took great offense to this. She was like, I'm a woman with curves. And I was like, okay, but like, just get something stretchy to go over the curves and you'll pay a quarter of the price. I don't know if she does it now, but like she took great offense. But I was like, who gives a shit where you get your clothes from? Like, who cares?
I've done it. I've done it myself. In that regard, online shopping has changed everything because now I don't have to go in and explain to people or have to talk to anyone. It's just like I just do my business wherever I choose to do it, in whatever section of the online store I choose to do it, and I get the thing, and usually it works. Here's the other thing, though, the one thing I hate about online shopping, though, is I'll look at a thing and I'll be like, oh, this is pretty good. I wonder if it'll fit me. And I'll look at it and it'll be like, you know, the model is 6'2" and is wearing a medium.
And you're like, how? How is this working out for you?
Wait, what?
Yes, there's a store called Big Bud Press. It's like locally made in LA. I really, really like them. And they have models that show the clothes. And then I'll be like, this model seems to look like my size, but their dimensions are not my size. And they're not wearing the size I think I should be wearing. And then I'll order it, and I'm like, yeah, I was right. This person's not me. And they're like, well, what's the point? I don't know. Don't tell me what size they're wearing. It doesn't work out. But I do love Big Bud Press. They do, like, small batches in L.A., and they have two little stores. They're a small little business. Follow them on Instagram if you like prints and shit. But this is not sponsored by Big Bud Press.
Maybe they should get into it. Marketing, Team Kogo Marketing, get on that.
Well, I just love talking about things that I like, and then people learn about it. What's something you like?
Oh, my gosh.
What's a small business you like?
Oh, that's a great question. And small business I like are a lot of bookstores in the LA area that I go to. So Stories in Echo Park.
I love Stories. They do stand-up shows there.
And they do stand-up in the back.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows. Because it's outside and I bring the people in with my screaming.
Yeah, it's a great place to see stuff. And I love walking in and you can hear it happening in the back. Mm-hmm. They've got the nice layout and good coffee and some decent food. Skylight, one of my favorites, small business. Great, great store. Secret Headquarters, which is a comic book store on Sunset Boulevard, I really like a lot. Check that out. Please spend money in that place.
Yeah, spend money there because I know a lot of comic book stores do some, I don't know if they do, but I read an article. I've been reading a lot, can you tell? And I've been like retaining just a little. But there's this comic book store that was like, we do a lot of our business at a booth at Comic-Con. There hasn't been Comic-Cons. So like we're not doing nearly as much business as we were. So please, please don't forget about comic book stores. So I think that's great that you mentioned one.
Yeah, I've been trying to spend money in brick and mortar stores whenever possible.
I've been trying to like be cognizant of where my money is going.
Yeah.
But sometimes Amazon is so convenient.
I mean, listen, for certain things, it's like I have to get these batteries or whatever and some shampoo, I guess, like, and a bunch of like weird stuff to like hang pictures, then I'll do it. I get it. It's kind of like unavoidable and entrenched at this point, but I think, you know, trying to figure out how to responsibly spend your money in ways that like help the community you live in, I think is important. And a thing that I think more people are trying to do as the awareness of how tenuous all of this is, Nicole.
Isn't it fucking annoying that like
home,
we as people just living our fucking lives every day have to be like, okay, how are we dismantling capitalism and the patriarchy and in systemic racism? Guess what? I'm exhausted. I don't want to do
it. That's the thing. That's the other thing is like, one of the things I really admire about you and are so inspired by the way you go about your comedy and the way you express yourself is like, you know, a lot of this is just so, we've been inside. So many people have been impacted and have passed away from this terrible disease that is ravaging the country. And it's, there's sometimes where you just want to like, shut up. Like, I just want to watch Selling Sunset and just watch these white people sell mansions and not think about, like, legitimately anything except, like, how much Botox is in Christine's head, you know? But when I listen to you, it's like you have it's just like a wonderful way of, like, putting so much sugar on the medicine, Nicole, that I just can't help but eat it down by the mouthful.
Thank you. Truly, this has been delightful. You are wonderful. I've enjoyed our time together. But Jason, I'm going to end on that compliment because it can't get better than that. Do you have anything you... Oh, wait, no, fuck. Do you want to date me? This... this... I panicked again for the second time in days. I was like, oh, you're forgetting the last question. Okay, so the last question I usually ask all my guests, this is how I usually preface it, is I always ask, would you date me? Not do you want to date me, but would you, hypothetically?
Yeah, absolutely, I would date you, hypothetically.
Thank you so much. Okay, Jason, what would you like to promote?
My podcast, Take Line, co-hosted with Renee Montgomery, every Tuesday. Follow it wherever you get your podcast. Like and subscribe. Give us the 5-star ratings, please. We love it. And then my my web show, All Caps NBA, every Friday on the Crooked Media All Caps Take Line YouTube channel. Smash that follow button. Thank you so much.
Yes, 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 yes. And then I'll apologize for calling it Talk Line earlier. Maybe I'll re-record it and I'll say Take Line. And then everyone will be like, she did say it correctly. And then they'll all be confused. And I'll probably just leave it. It's bad. I can't believe I read that incorrectly. I was doing VO yesterday and the woman's name was Veronica. And I kept calling her Victoria. Or no, it was Victoria, and I kept calling her Veronica. And then finally someone was like, hey, Nicole, it's Victoria. And I was like, what was I saying? And they were like, not her name. I was like, oh, okay, I'm so sorry. Like I said earlier, read is hard. Okay. Yeah, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it. You can rate it. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can leave me a 5-star review. If you send me something nasty hitting on me, either in my DMs, because I scan my DMs to look for them, or email it to me, or write it in the reviews. But this person said, Nicole, I want to cover your body with graham cracker crumbs and stuff your pussy with marshmallows. Then I take you to a campsite in the middle of the woods. So I would have to drive to this campsite with things stuffed in my pussy. A group of my friends dressed as campers would pump their dark chocolate dicks in your holes while I read offensive tweets to you. Well, this is okay. By that time we finish getting that pussy twitching tired, you'll realize you just got roasted like s'mores for a bunch of campers. Ha 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 ha. The end got me. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solo-Taroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Do you like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinegar invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule: no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.